Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
The engine's ready to celebrate. Show these fans.
Here comes a 1-2 pitch. Red Sox win the World Series! 5-1 the final tonight!
You're listening to the Pesky Report, a podcast dedicated to the Boston Red Sox by Red Sox fans.
Report is happy to announce that we will be sponsored by High and Happy Catering out of Springfield, Massachusetts. High and Happy Catering creates gourmet meals for small or large events with a twist. All of their meals are cannabis infused. If you are looking to have a real happy meal, call them at 413-785-8999 or search for them on Instagram at High and Happy Catering. You'll be happy you did.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Pesky Report. My name is Brad Chandler. This is episode number 60. With me today, I have my two co-hosts, Brady. I'm just going to call you Brady from now on. Is that right?
Good. That works for me, man.
All right. We got Brady. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm doing good. How are you?
Living the dream, bro. Isaac, how are we doing?
I'm doing good. Just got out of class.
Oh, fun times. You got sun shining down there in Texas.
Oh, yeah,
huh?
The window.
It's like blinding.
There.
So we got we had a pretty decent series, up and down and whatnot, and we got a hell of a wild card chase going on right now. Obviously, if the season ended today, the Red Sox would actually be out. What do you got, Isaac? You look like you were wanted to say something.
The Orioles just hit a home run, so it's 2-1 Yankees.
All right. Well, we need more of those.
Yeah.
Let's go. Oh,
timing.
Let's go.
They can go today. After today, go fuck off. Basically.
Exactly.
Didn't they just like almost sweep the Yankees like a week ago?
Yeah, they lost in extra innings. By a Stanton single and extra, yeah, he walked it off.
Little fight.
We need them to. They're the only ones in the wild card race that is actually playing today. So if they beat the O's tonight, they leapfrog the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm. Hey Brad, did you hear how they if they're not gonna, but if they ended in a 3-way tie, what happens?
No, what is it?
All right, so the breakdown goes as following. Toronto and Boston play in Boston. The winner is the number one wild card. The loser plays the Yankees, but the Yankees have to play wherever, either in Toronto or in Boston. Whoever wins out of that is the second wild card team.
Jesus Christ, that's such a fuck fest.
Right, it's because the Yankees did not beat either the Blue Jays or the Red Sox in the season head-to-head series.
Oh, and
the Red Sox beat the Blue Jays in the head-to-head series.
10-9. So. Yeah, right. You're right. I thought it came down to the winning percentage, honestly.
Yeah, no. So that would be crazy for baseball. And, if that happens, that'd be unbelievably exciting. But,
I was talking to somebody at my work today about this. I was like, well, if it comes down and it's like the New York Yankees or the Boston Red Sox, what do you think about that? And they're a Yankee fan. He looked at me and he said, if that happens, it's rigged. Come on, you got to think about it. Honestly, think about it. He explained it to me like this. He's like, all the money that they lost last year, okay? And with the CBA coming up, and the possibility that there's going to be a lockdown next year, MLB wants to make as much money as they can. So going even further to have that extra game that you were talking about, that would make more sense too. You know, I wouldn't put it past Manfred. I mean, like, I think the guy's a dumb shit, but there's somebody in MLB, one of those executives up there that's like, hey, what if this happened? We could make so much more money in MLB.
Tony Clark.
Yeah, Tony Clark could do that.
Yeah, the only thing, though, is I would think
– you're a rally killer.
Listen, I'm not trying to be, but wouldn't the MLB last year during the pandemic had the Yankees beat Tampa, so you'd had the Yankees-Dodgers World Series would have been probably way better ratings-wise than Dodgers fucking
I said
Rays.
They're rigging it this year. I didn't say anything about last year. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so just for this year, they rigged. Got it. Check.
Right.
Yep. Exactly. Okay. That checks out. Yep.
It does. Yeah, how much more money are they going to make last – how much more money would they make last year with – the Yankees and the Dodgers. They wanted the Dodgers to win. They didn't want the Yankees to lose in the World Series.
I know, but that sucks because I'm so sick of the fucking Dodgers. I really am. But I hate the fucking Yankees, so that would be like a – there's
you're
no –
catch – what is it? Catch
– I'm in called? Like a – I think I'm in a catch 23. Like I'm past the 22. It's catch 22, but I'm 22. Past that.
Okay, yeah.
I'm on 23 because that's
it's fucking – it's catch 28 because I'm sick of 27.
You got it.
Oh man. All right, so we got some news. We got some notes that we want to go over. It was announced through The Athletic the other day. It was actually announced through MLB about the Seattle Mariners hosting the 2023 All-Star game. Pretty exciting. Chirp, 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 chirp. I don't know too many people that are excited to have the All-Star game in Seattle. Earlier, before we started the show, Brady, you were talking about like, oh, so we're just never going to get another All-Star game at Fenway. I would love another All-Star game at Fenway.
Oh man, that would have been those highlights, man. Looking back, home run derby, fire, Ted Williams coming out. Talking hitting with McGuire, Sosa, seeing Pedro mow everybody down. That, I'm not saying there haven't been other great All-Star moments, but damn, was that was awesome. And it just seems – I know it's been, what, 21 years now, I guess it is?
22. Damn,
it feels like it's time for something, a little Fenway action going pretty soon.
We got to get Henry and company to start bidding on it.
Get on it, man.
MLB yesterday announced that September 15th will be known as Roberto Clemente Day. What are you guys' opinion on this? Do you think that this is a long time coming? Do you think that they should just like retire number 21 like they did Jackie Robinson's number?
Yes, I do.
I'm not like a big fan of retiring numbers for every player in MLB to wear, but if that was going to be – if you're going to pick a guy – that's a well-deserving number to retire and for a player to do it for. Absolutely.
Yeah, I have to agree. One of my old coworkers, he's a Hispanic baseball fan and his son plays for the Miami Marlins. And we were talking about Roberto Clemente and just seeing like how he was talking about him and whatnot, it just got me more interested in learning about him and the humanitarian that he was. I agree. I think that number 42 and number 21 should be retired throughout because Roberto Clemente means as much to the Hispanic community, the Latino community, as Jackie Robinson meant to the African-American community. So, but yesterday I was listening to Alex Cora talking to Joe Castiglione, and he was explaining, he was like, yeah, you know, if they end up actually retiring his number, I'd be extremely happy. But, you know, they got an award for Roberto Clemente, and he's like, that's one of the highest awards you could get. And he's like, you know, so I'm okay with that, is basically what he said. But I do like the fact that they all, you know, like they should all be, everybody should be able to wear the number 21 on September 15th from now on. I don't believe that that's something that should just be segregated to just the Puerto Ricans which is what they were saying, is it's like Puerto Ricans are allowed to wear that number. And if you are not of the Puerto Rican heritage, you have to request the number ahead of time. And I'm like, well, you know, like yesterday, Nathan Uvalde was wearing number 21. But I think that, like I said, it should be something that everybody is wearing. And I believe the Pirates all wore 21. I know they did last year.
That's cool. It
would make sense.
Yeah, it was funny. I didn't realize that yesterday. I just kind of lost it somewhere. And I put in the chat, I saw Jack Lopez up wearing number 21. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm pretty sure no one's worn 21 since Clemens. And I'm like, they just decided to give 21 to Jack Lopez after all this time? That's where you drew the line? And then when you brought it up, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But I just didn't know that. I was like, damn, Jack Lopez got 21, huh?
Yeah. So it's a thing. Hopefully in the future, you know, this might be one of the things that Manfred actually did right. There's still more to do on it. Like I said, I believe that it should be just like Jackie Robinson. Everybody wears 21. Moving on, Tristan Casas is now considered the number 15 prospect in all of baseball, according to Baseball America. That's pretty sweet. That guy's a fucking beast, man. I just went some yesterday and the day before.
He's a treasure.
He is. And 250 pounds. What is he, like 6'4"?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he's not a small guy. And like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Portland Sea Dogs. Their coach is like 5'3", probably. He's like a really short black dude, I swear. And you think he's like just a bat boy or something coming out. And every time he came out yesterday, like I went to the game yesterday, and every time he came out, because there was injuries galore, I got questioned by one of my friends I was with. He was like, who's this kid walking out? And I'm like, that's the manager. That's the coach. And then like you have him right next to Casas, and Casas is just like overtowering him. So we ended up getting Sal Moore back. He was activated on Monday. Nathan Uvalde is the the Red Sox nominee for the Roberto Clemente Award. So there's probably a reason there why Uvalde was wearing the number 21 too. Nick York spent last year working out in preparation of his first year in pro ball. York is now hitting .332 with a .948 OPS in 92 games.
That's good.
Jaron Duran is with the Worcester Red Sox. I believe he's doing a rehab assignment.
Yeah.
They can't have too many games left, right? They got to be doing.
No, I know. I don't know how many games the Woo Sox have. I know the Portland Sea Dogs are done after Sunday. I mean, they've got their postseason because they're part of the postseason, but. Why I went to the game yesterday, Matt Barnes was making his second rehab assignment in Hartford. He actually opened the game. And I actually said something to Sox prospects. I was telling you guys about this beforehand. Said something to Sox prospects. And Chris kind of was like, yeah, you know, one day I kind of wish that, you know, I dream that people would stop thinking that rehab assignments mean something. Whatever, it is what it is. Like I thought he looked like crap. I also said that maybe he was working on his pitches, you know, trying to get his feel for his pitches. Alex Cora said that he is hopeful that Chris Sale is going to start tomorrow. That would be Friday, which it looks like that's going to be what happens. Right now on MLB.com, it is TBD. Everywhere else, it's basically TBD, and then Nick Pivetta TBD. And this lets us all know that Chris Sale is vaccinated. And if he ends up playing tomorrow, pitching tomorrow, he will have missed one start. And a player does not have to quarantine for the full 10 days if they are vaccinated, are asymptomatic, and have, I believe it's 3 negative tests. I'm not 100% sure if it's 3 or if it's more.
It's 3. That's how you get back.
Yeah. So
Hey, Brad, I just saw the Woo Sox schedule. Now they're through the end of September this year because they didn't start, remember, until May 1st. So that's kind of a interesting little wrinkle. If there's a guy gets a little injury, that there's a little opportunity for players, maybe like Duran or something like that, to really work through some stuff and not just sit on the bench for the Red Sox.
Well, I know like Jose Iglesias, I know he's not eligible for the postseason.
Yeah. But Duran would be, right?
Yeah, Duran would be.
So him sitting down, you know, in Pawtucket getting at bats, you know, because I mean, yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, you know, that's gonna take a while. You know, but getting at bats and if an injury was to come up or whatever, like that's a cool thing because they're usually done by now. But I remember they started late.
He's most likely going to do like a little short stint down there. Then he's gonna get called up. Because they need his speed, even if it's just off the bench.
Yeah,
I mean, might not need his glove or whatever or his bat, but we need his speed off the bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
So those were some of the notes. We also have some things that we want to end up going over. I'm going to leave what Isaac wants to talk about for last of this part. So according to Red Sox notes on Twitter, and actually it came out that it was just according to them, Bobby Dalbec is the third fastest Red Sox player to 30 homers, 143 games behind Walt Dropo and with 121 games and Tony Conigliaro with 131 games. He's right in front of Ted Williams. Ted Williams is the fourth fastest at 144 games. Bobby got it at 143.
Damn.
Something was posted by Bo Sox and Jackson, I believe. Someone posted it in one of the Facebook groups that I'm in. And someone said, don't ever compare Bobby Dalbec to Ted Williams. It was like, nobody did. Nobody did, you idiot. Like, calm down. Read the story. Like, understand what it's saying.
That would be great if you were actually actively, like, hear me out. Bobby Dalbec, Ted Williams. I got to give it to Bobby here. Like, that would be amazing if someone tried to make that. Like, that would be great.
I don't think you can make the comparison. Unless Bobby, like, hits a bomb out to right field that's past the red seat that, you know – that's an imagination right there, thinking that somebody actually hit a ball out that far. And the next thing that we need to talk about, this one's kind of a controversial subject. Brady's not thrilled with it. A lot of people in our chat is not thrilled with it. I know there's a lot of fans out there that are like, cannot believe that this is even a thought process. But it is. It really is. And it's something that Red Sox fans need to start thinking about. And what it is it time to start thinking about Xander in a different position or maybe thinking about what life would be without Xander no longer on the Red Sox? Isaac, I know you're like chomping at the bits right now trying to want to talk about this. So I'm going to let you take it away.
I love Xander Bogaerts. He's meant so much to this town and to our fan base and the team. He's homegrown. He's helped us significantly win a World Series in 2013 and 2018. However, my opinion is his skill set as a player does not age well, and we've seen it a lot of times before in this league. First, Bogaerts' quality of contact throughout his career has never been elite other than 2019. His defense is not good, and that's the biggest issue the Sox have had the last three seasons. They are historically bad defensively. They've had horrible BABIP, and Bogaerts is a major part of that. Now, if you look at past MLB players with huge contracts with their homegrown teams have not worked out, let's look at Miguel Cabrera, Chris Davis, and Prince Fielder. Those three massive contracts have been a failure, and it's ruined the organization a little. The Cardinals did the right thing to not pay Albert Pujols. After 2011, he was declining a little. He still had great stats, and it hurt Cardinals fans to see Pujols not in a Cardinals jersey. But they did the right thing. That saved their asses. And now we notice a trend of, you know, young superstars like Tatis, Acuna, all those who are getting paid a lot at a younger age because teams don't want to deal with players after turning 30 years old. They don't know what to do with them. And you got to indicate the fans. You got to indicate, you know, what's best for the organization and the morale. I understand all that. And unfortunately for Bogarts, well, not really unfortunately for him, but unfortunately for the team, he's a Boras client, Scott Boras, the main guy out of all clients, agents, my bad. But Bogarts is definitely intrigued by the Lindor and the Tatis contracts. So it's bad timing for Haim and the Red Sox right now. But here, if Bogarts is willing to take a pay cut and is willing to go to third base, I'd keep him. I feel like he could still be a good hitter, not great or elite.
Isaac,
be good.
When you say pay cut, though, how much are you saying that he should take? Like, how much would you be willing to keep Xander around for playing third base, and how many years?
Okay, so I'm pretty sure he's a free agent right after he turns 30. Well, if he opts out, and I truly believe he's going to opt out, I'd offer him a 5-6 year deal, 140, 150 mil.
So we're not even thinking 200.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
And the term, I'd give him 5-6 years at most.
So it seems like you're more willing to pay for Devers over Xander.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, we'll talk about that at a different time, though. Okay, continue.
And, you know, if he opts out, that allows Marcelo Meyer to develop through the minors because he's the future shortstop of this team. And, well, if he opts out or switches positions, I'm pretty sure the organization wants Meyer to be the shortstop in 3 or 4 years when he gets called up. At the end, Boras is the real winner here. He got what he wanted. I always love Bogarts, but unless what I want is for him to switch positions and what I said about his term and money, if he doesn't want that, and if he wants the $300 million, you have to let him go. It's best for the organization. You cannot give him a huge contract. That will screw the organization.
All right, Brady, you got any questions for Isaac on that?
I have a rebuttal, but not necessarily questions.
Okay, go ahead.
So looking at it is, I don't disagree fundamentally with anything that you really said, other than the fact of what the hell is the point of not spending on a Mookie Betts or this, that. Like, at some point you have to pay your homegrown players, right? And you want to show the guys in the minor league that we're not just here while you're young, and then when it's time to pay you, see ya, like time to move on. I look at Michael Young as a really good comp from the Texas Rangers years ago. You know, yes, if Xander Bogarts is steadfast and he wants to stay at shortstop, then I don't see, you know, the organization saying, absolutely, we're just going to keep you there. Just no matter what, that's where you stay. Do I think he deserves more money and more years? Because I think they're, you know, bringing guys up and showing, though, a carrot dangling for prospects to say, if you are here and you thrive here, then you're going to be rewarded to stay here. You don't want Mookie Betts to be the start of every face of the franchise that just leaves. That's a bad, in my opinion, streak to go down. I don't want to bid against, you know, name what the, let's say the Philadelphia Phillies were desperate for Xander Bogarts. I don't want to bid against ourselves, right? If you said he's getting a 6-7, potentially even 8 year deal, but with a declining scale or whatever it would be, but with the understanding that he's getting his money. So whether he's playing short or third, he doesn't care. As long as he's getting his money, that solves a lot of problems in the future because we all know about Devers' defense, right? And we all know that if Mayer is really a guy who's going to be come up and taking over a shortstop, it makes a lot of sense. But I can't just want, you know, I don't want to move on from Xander to, I feel like it's the mistake the Red Sox made with John Lester going to happen all over again. And that's the fear that I have with this is then we're going to pay David Price, but in this case, maybe it's not David Price, maybe it's somebody else. Then we're going to repeat that pattern of mistakes. And I think John Henry's smart enough to not make that same mistake again.
Well, first of all, it's not going to be John Henry. It's going to be Haim Bloom. He's going to be the one that...
It's John Henry's money, though. It's John Henry's money.
But do you think John Henry said, no, don't pay Mookie Betts?
I think he had a line
they offered him $10,300.
Right. And what I'm saying, but he had a line in the sand. And
there's also a difference between Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts.
Yes. Yes.
Agreed. John Lester not re-signing, even ownership has admitted that was a mistake.
Yeah, that was a huge mistake. And that, and David Price coming in. One second. David Price was actually the reason for David Price coming to Boston was because of what happened with Lester.
Yep.
And it was a mistake. I liked Price. I think what Price did in the World Series was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I also think that what happened afterwards was fantastic. Wertheim sent him off to LA with Mookie Betts. So, Isaac, you had to say something?
So, I know I wasn't old enough like you are, but...
he just called you old.
My bad. No, yeah. No. I'm sure you guys were around the time we traded Nomar, and that probably caught every Red Sox fan like, what the fuck are we doing? Right. Nomar was way better than Bogaerts. I'm sorry, but he was. He has the stats to back it up. Bogaerts is a great player. Healthy. But he's just – he's not someone you just have to pay. I have to go against your argument. Mookie got offered $300 million. He wanted more, but Mookie's a superstar. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer one day. So that's kind of different.
That's a way overstatement.
Look at Miguel Cabrera. Look at Miguel Cabrera. Look at Prince Fielder. Look at Chris Davis. Look at the contracts they got.
Dude, he's got a long time to go until you can say a no doubt first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, he's got a long –
I think he'll be a Hall of Famer.
He really could
be a Hall of Famer.
You got to remember, like, Derek Jeter, like, unanimous. You got guys like Barry Bonds, who's – granted, it's the steroids and whatnot is keeping them out. But you got people like that aren't even being considered right now.
Nomar is not being considered. And when he was earlier in his career, people would have thought, no doubt, first ballot Hall of Famer. Things can change drastically. Health is a huge one.
And Mookie and Betts has been having issues with his health this year. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. But you're 100% correct with the Nomar situation. It was, I agree. He was a better shortstop. He had better offensive numbers. He had better defensive numbers. He was better all around. His problem was he just couldn't stay healthy. And trading him was probably for the best. It sucks for him because he never got to smell a World Series. But
Isaac, you probably were too young. Now I'll use it back the other way. But to remember, and Brad, I'm sure you remember this one. In 04, Red Sox playing the Yankees, that was when it was all coming to a head. Nomar, the story is, refused to play that game. And that's the day that Jeter dove into the stands, got all bloodied up, during that game. And Nomar sat in the bench sulking the entire time. And it wasn't like a week later, he traded out of Boston. And my whole point is, You still have to have some players, though, that you look at and you say they're cornerstones of your organization. If you're always constantly moving on to the next thing. And again, I agree wholeheartedly. He cannot be shortstop for life. And if that's his case, then he's got to go do that somewhere else.
Now we got a commenter, Quinn. At some point or another, Bogey is going to decline. That's no question. The question is, how much is he going to decline?
That's a great point.
I mean, it's true. I mean, you can take it no matter who you give it to, it's going to be you have to ask that question. How is it going to who's going to decline? How much are they going to decline? You know, with Bogaerts, there's that question. But then you got questions from, like, with Nomar. Nobody thought that was going to happen. You know, nobody thought he was going to get traded. Don't even fucking say that.
No, he was
going to get traded, Brady.
Hold on. When he sat down, refused. I remember that like it was yesterday. I was moving into a new apartment that day. When he refused to play that day, that was when the writing was on the wall. What I was going to say, though, was when you take a look at it with Xander, you really have to wonder, though. He kind of took a hometown discount and signed a reasonable contract extension to stay with the Red Sox. You don't always want to shit on a player when the chickens come home to roost, that now you're going to shortchange them. Get the fuck out of here. Let's pay somebody else. That's my concern, is that you have to be able to say to someone, if you're here, I mean, he was 18 years old playing third base in the World Series in 2013. I was, you know, I was there. You know, Stephen Drew's at short. Xander's playing a position he's never played before. That's dope. Now just to ship the guy, like, you know, I agree. He can't stay at shortstop. It's a big defensive problem. And if his attitude is, I'm a shortstop, then it can't be with the Boston Red Sox. Does he deserve it? Would I give him an extra year? Fuck yeah, I would. Because not every player comes to Boston and succeeds. And at some point, you can't, you know, like Dustin Pedroia took a hometown discount, right? But his health went out. You got to reward the guys who give reasonable contracts later on, or else there has to be some kind of fairness, or you're going to have guys that don't want to stay in Boston because they're going to say, no, ownership is cheap. They're not going to give us the fucking money.
You've got to look at it this way. His hometown discount was $140 million. He's going to look for – I think he's going to be asking for more than – he's definitely going to ask for more than that.
I agree.
I don't want to – yeah, I don't want to bid against – listen, if fair market value is, whatever, $26, $28 million for 8 years – then you got to go, right? I get that too. But if the Red Sox need to give him an extra year to stay, fuck it. He's earned it.
All right. So we okay with the Xander Bogaerts talk right now? Do we have any more that we want to yell at each other for?
We're
good?
Well,
no, I know. I'm just being a dick.
The only thing is it does feel like, just for argument's sake, they go out and sign a big free agent shortstop with Correa, whoever it is, in lieu of. It does feel oddly reminiscent of the John Lester, David Price thing all over again. At some point, though, you just got to learn that not everyone, when they come to Boston, not every big free agent contract works out. A lot of them do. Carl Crawford came as – I mean, you talk about speed, defense, power. I mean, he was electric. Everything you'd want a baseball player. And he just got fat and lazy, like, overnight. It was like he turned into Brad in, like, 2 seconds.
What the fuck?
All right.
You call me fat and lazy? No, I'll take fat. I ain't lazy, motherfucker.
Okay. Well, I'll take the lazy. You take the fat?
You're also fucking fat.
I am, but I'm not taking both. Which one do you want? I'll take the other
one. I'm not taking lazy.
All right, so you're fat, I'm lazy. Deal.
I'm a little overweight.
I think it's kind of ticking.
All right, guys, let's move on.
You're lazy as fuck. All right, let's go.
Who, me?
Who?
You talking to me?
You talking to me?
You want to start doing some of this podcast stuff that I've been trying to train you on to do so that I didn't have to do every fucking show, dickhead?
Let's go.
We'll talk later. All right. You ever play with your Bulls?
What?
You ever play with your Bulls? Do you like playing with your Bulls?
No,
I'm not talking about baseballs. I'm talking about your balls down below.
It's such an animal. Got it.
Our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming, want you to shave your pubes with the Mike Trout of ball trimmers. The brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Wow, that was such a bad read.
Start again. You start the whole thing again.
Do you like playing with balls?
Yep.
No, I'm not talking about baseballs. I'm talking about your balls. Our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming, want you to shave your pubes with the Mike Trout of ball trimmers, the brand new Lawnmower 4.0. This shit's fucking great, man. Only the GOAT technology for the greatest balls of all time. When you're looking to hit a home run, make sure you use the right tool for the job and choose Manscaped. 2 million men worldwide trust them. I'm one of them. So join the movement with our exclusive offer by using the code PESKYREPORT at manscaped.com for 20% off, and you get free shipping. You guys don't use Manscaped? I got a Manscaped shipped to me, and let me tell you, man.
You said it's the Mike Trout, right? It's the Mike Trout of
Manscaped. It's the GOAT. It's the best. It's the greatest. It's awesome.
So that was Pesky Report?
Yes, sir.
Type that in?
20%. Yeah, it's the promo code that you put in when you go to purchase your Lawnmower 4.0. I actually just went and purchased some ball lotion and some ball deodorant. They also give out some ball wipes.
Dude, I am fucking excited. I am super excited to get my my Manscaped ball wipes and deodorant.
I need some ball wipes.
Hey, manscaped.com. Use Pesky Report to get 20% off.
Sure will.
All right, let's move on. Oh man, that's I love that. That was fantastic. No, I'm not even joking. Like, they got a little LED light on the trimmer. So like when you're shaving, yeah, you can see. You can see where you're shaving, you know.
What color? What color is the LED light?
Well, the LED light is out, it's like a bright white light.
That's cute, you know. That's nice. Well, you know what you don't want? You don't want like the Chris Davis of ball fucking trimmers. You know what I mean? Like like your fucking shit gets all fucked up. Like, you don't want that at all.
I don't
want
to be bleeding.
That's what the Chris Davis one would fucking be. You don't want
which Chris Davis, Crush or the one for the Baltimore Orioles?
The fucking the one for the Orioles. Not the cool one from Oakland. That guy is cool as hell.
And Chris Crush. Yeah. Jesus Christ. we got somebody in here. Quinn's all like, left my ass off. I'd be considered by many too young for this conversation. Oh boy.
Listen, never too young.
Advisory.
Quinn, you'll know what we're talking about. One day you will.
10 years. All right, let's move on. Let's start talking about the series here. This was a pretty good series, and I was actually extremely worried about this series because every time it's actually. This is the first series that we have taken out in Seattle. I believe it's since 2013.
Correct. And we all know what happened that year.
That's fantastic. Did we face them in 2018, right? And then we faced them at the beginning of 2019.
Yeah, we don't speak that series.
Yeah, that series was flawed. That
year, we don't speak those first games.
That was shit.
It sure was.
It was shit. All right, so game one was Eduardo Rodriguez versus Logan Gilbert. I'm going to be honest, dude. I fucking hate 10 o'clock starts.
Me too.
Yeah.
They suck.
Agreed.
They're 9 o'clock starts for you.
I have an advantage.
I mean, Bailey has the best advantage. It starts at 7 o'clock her time. But man, do I fucking hate these 10 o'clock starts? It's thankfully we didn't have that many this year. Like the Angels game started early too, didn't they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They weren't 10 o'clock. They were like 9 or 8 or some shit like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of eight o'clock starts. Yeah.
Like I woke up the other day and the Sox and two was playing. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, what the fuck? The game's still it's Sox and two.
I agree. It's way too fucking late. They got to fix that.
They're never going to.
They should.
They're not going to. Everything's scheduled to the fucking West Coast to be able to, unless it's like an 11 o'clock game for Patriots Day or 1 o'clock game on the East Coast. Fuck them though. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck having to stay up until 10 o'clock at night to watch the first game.
Ugh.
First inning. Shit.
Imagine you stayed up to watch the whole thing and like then the way it fucking turned out, you're going to bed at like 1:30 in the morning and it just sucks.
I gotta say, I'm assuming that Quinn's probably in high school.
Yeah, I talked to him. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So Quinn,
very smart.
For I have to get up at 4 a.m. So I go to work and, you know, being able to. Fuck you, Brady, because you're the same motherfucker. It's annoying. It is annoying. So not going to get into it. All right. So game one, Eduardo Rodriguez versus Logan Gilbert. The Red Sox lost 4-5. I saw some highlights of this. It was pretty shitty. Jose Iglesias, he hit a home run. For some reason, I don't think that this was a case, but I believe Bailey wrote this down. It's like Erod tipping pitches. I don't think he was tipping his pitches.
That was me.
Was that you?
Because in the first couple innings,
he went up and he talked to the umpire and he was like talking into his glove. I think they were talking about him going from the windup.
He changed his delivery in the third inning and. Before he could not get swing and misses, like he was locating and they were just fouling everything. And he, like, Erod was like, what the hell? Then after that, he's changed his mechanics, he changed his delivery, and he was striking out guys.
Okay. So Eddie looked better as the game went on, threw a total of 107 pitches with 74 of them for strikes. That's not horrible.
No, he battled.
Yeah, he definitely battled. Game. Yeah. Brazier had a tough inning, but the error by Schwarber didn't help. Yeah, that was a big error.
Ooh, that lost us the game.
Like, when you say that something lost you the game, and you – if somebody ever said to me, like, oh, this lost us the game, I could seriously sit there and be like, oh, well, that was Schwarber. You know, that play at first, he should have had it. But that's what happens when you don't have a first baseman playing first base. You know, he's not used to the position. I believe it was a bounce, right? Didn't it like come up to like his stomach or something?
It was a routine bounce, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like, he's not used to that. It could be routine for a first baseman. It'll be routine for even, say, Dobek, who's not even a true first baseman. But I mean, you can't really expect a guy who's played maybe five games over at first base
to be able to make. He needs a spring training, you know what I mean, like to really go through the whole routine. This is trial by fire. And the truth really is, as much as that play sucked, that doesn't excuse Brazier then, you know, to the next batter just serving up on the platter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who was catching that game?
Vasquez.
So that would explain that.
I hate Vasquez, but Haniger struggles against sliders. He's a good fastball hitter, and Vasquez was calling multiple sliders, and Brazier just hung it.
Okay. I'm not, like, the biggest Vasquez fan. I don't hate him. It's just he's been doing a lot of derpy stuff.
He's not a smart baseball player, in my opinion.
He does get in the postseason. It seems like he's the kind of guy – reminds me a little bit of Jackie that would get like big postseason hits. Yeah. So I wouldn't be shocked, but over a course of 162, he does do a lot of stupid fucking things. He does. I think that's, we can all agree upon that. Like, he's going to screw up.
Yep. I mean, you're going to screw up no matter who you are, but oh my God, I forgot to talk about this. Did you guys see the thing on the Jumbotron at Oracle Park in San Francisco?
The divorce thing?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
It says, happy divorce, Max back in the game. I just happened to like click over on Twitter and saw that. All right, let's get back to this. It seems as though that our big bats are slumping, though that, you know, Xander and Devers both had back-to-back homers in the eighth. The Schwarber error ends up creating three unearned runs. The Yankees and Jays also win, so that's no bueno. That sucks. Nope. Yep. And if the season was to end at that game, the Red Sox would be out of the playoffs. The defense continues to fuck the team. Right, the defense just fucks the team. It's been embarrassing. As of this game, the Red Sox have committed 100 errors in the season. The Marlins are the only team in MLB to have committed more.
Oh, God.
20 of the errors as of this game had come from Devers. Also, one thing, I was really disappointed by going through the notes and realizing that nobody had put this in there, but Caleb Wirt made his debut in this game.
Did you put it in?
I did.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that. My bad.
No, it is. I went over it the next day. I was like, you know, because I watched the previews and stuff, and I made sure that all the notes were up to date. But he gave up one hit and walked one, so he had a pretty good debut. He had a better debut than Carter Crawford. We could say that.
He did.
What were our thoughts on game one? Let's start with you, Isaac, because you stayed up for the entire game.
Game one, our offense was just struggling against Gilbert most of the game. They could not hit his velocity, and he was throwing a lot of down the middle pitches. I mean, he has great stuff. He looks like a guy who's going to be great for years. Credit to the Mariners, but defense. We made two errors that game, I think, and it would have been a 1-2-3 inning for Brazier if Schwarber made that play. We would have won if he made that play. I mean, it's unfortunate because Devers and Bogaerts, they went back-to-back against Seawald, and Seawald's a very, very good reliever this year. So it sucks, and brutal loss. And that something
what were you saying?
Something Cara has mentioned, like when the Red Sox play defense, they don't lose. They don't. Like they're very, that's, very
interesting. You ever hear the saying defense wins? It's not just in football. It's not just in basketball. Brady?
Yeah. You know what sucked is I looked at my phone at like 2 o'clock in the morning just to see what the final was. And then I looked at it and I was so disgusted. And then I'm reading like the recap. And then I'm so angry that I have a tough time to fucking fall back asleep for whatever I had left. Because I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you know what I mean? So, like, my thoughts were, it sucks that Erod went out, battled. And, you know,
he battled his dick off, too.
I'm a big Ryan Brazier guy. You know, I like what he brings, you know, a competitor. But it sucks that Schwarber made the error. But pitching staff sometimes has to pick up, you know, the positional players too. It doesn't just work, you know, just the one way. And, you know, there's no excuse for Brazier letting up a bomb in that spot.
No.
So, I mean, it was a really shitty start to the series. Luckily, it wasn't the entire series.
So, Erod went six innings. He went six innings, gave up six hits, two runs. One of them earned. He walked one. He struck out six. Brazier came in, threw two-thirds of an inning. Gave up three hits, three runs, none of them earned. Gave up one home run, so there's that. Big Fudge came in for a third of an inning. He struck out one. Caleb Wart came in. He, like I said, one hit, one walk, the third of an inning. And then Josh Taylor got the end of the game. He had two-thirds of an inning. He gave up he struck out one. That was it. So, I mean, Erod looked good. The only one that really didn't look good was Brazier, I would say. So, it sucks. We lost the game. Shit happens.
Yep. That's it.
I don't know one person that isn't bothered by Brazier turning his head sideways literally every time he goes to get the ball from the catcher. I think that's just a thing he does. You know, they don't call him bent neck Brazier for no reason. That comes from the Carrabba's crew, Section 10. Go ahead, Isaac.
At least that's not as annoying as watching Matt Andrews chewing his gum. That irritates me so much.
So, you know what I'm talking about? Was he in the he pitched in the second game, correct?
Yeah, but with the Red Sox, when he was chewing gum, I'm like, you're bad and you do this. Like, come on, man.
He chomps gum like a fucking cow. Whatever. Number 35. We don't say his name.
Number 35.
Who is no longer on the team. So one thing that we've been kind of keeping track of is the fact that the games have been a little on the long side. This game was actually not too long. It was a 3-hour and 11-minute game. So there's that. That wasn't super long. Now, the next two games were pretty long. The next game, it was Nathan Eovaldi versus Tyler Anderson. Red Sox win 8-4. The time of the game was 4 hours, basically. 3 hours and 59 minutes. So I stayed up a little bit for this game. JD homered in the fourth with one out. Renfro dropped a fly ball. What a dick. That was in the fourth. Eovaldi managed to escape a disaster inning. Mariners up 2-1. Eovaldi actually pitched five innings. He gave it five hits, two runs, one of them earned, one base on balls, nine strikeouts. He threw 95 pitches, 66 of them for strikes. He faced 22 batters, had one ground out and five flyouts. How did we think that Eovaldi looked in this game, Isaac?
Me?
No, the other Isaac.
So I didn't hear my name. Okay. Eovaldi was – that was like – he was awesome. If it wasn't for Renfro, he would have gone six, seven innings because that raises pitch count by 20 pitches. But in the first three innings, he was looking like untouchable. I'm like, okay, we'd score runs and we should win this game. And then he gets unlucky and then the errors. But he managed to escape what could have been a disaster. And that's what he's done for us all season. Like, Eovaldi, he's been our MVP of the 2021 Red Sox.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing? When Chris Sale came back, everybody was like, if we make it to the playoffs, he's going to be the number one pitcher. And I think it was you who actually brought it up to me that if they do make the wild card game, they should pitch Eovaldi over Sale. And it wasn't in disrespect to Sale. It was more of respect to Eovaldi because Eovaldi's he's sitting around 97, 98. He can throw 99, 100. Where Sale's like, he could throw that 98-mile-per-hour fastball, but he can't do it consistently. He's sitting right around like 94, 95. So you don't want them getting that low-velocity fastball. And you made perfect sense. I'd rather see Eovaldi pitch in the wildcard game, especially if it's a one-game do-or-die, you know. Brady?
Absolutely. I mean – I think in a do-or-die game, you're going to see them both pitch anyway, so it really doesn't matter. I get the logic. Yeah, I mean, Sale clearly is going to be a weapon, but in terms of trying to get some length consistency, you know, five innings, you're probably going to get that a little better out of Eovaldi right now than you will Sale. The one thing that stood out to me for this game, in addition to Nate pitching great, in, was Darwin's in coming in a 2-2 game and pitching, you know, inning and two-thirds and looking good. And that really is something that, you know, their bullpen's been short. You know, Whitlock has not been used much recently. I think that, you know, he's kind of hit a brick wall right now. And if Darwin's in is to get right, and he really hasn't been really, I don't feel like he's been right most of the year. But if he's strong down this last little 2 weeks here, that can be a huge boost because that guy's arm is fucking powerful.
The problem with Darwin's in is the fact that when he throws the ball, he doesn't really know where it's going.
Which has got to scare the shit out of the batter, though. You know what I mean? Like,
fair enough. I mean, like, yeah. you don't want them resting easy in the batter's box, but it's still like you don't need a guy throwing wild all the way back to the backstop.
No, you know? No, but he recorded five outs and walked one batter.
Yeah,
he let up no hits. Struck out two.
Yep, two strikeouts, one walk.
That's my Darwin's in. Like that's the Darwin's in I love.
That's the Darkwing Duck I love.
Yep, you need that guy because honestly, you know, right now they need every arm they can get out of the pen, and if that guy gets a shot back in the arm, that's huge. And it was nice to see Schwarber, you know, coming back in this game and really getting redemption. You know, kind of is the, you know, the he wears the goat the day before and he gets come back and be the hero the next day. That's kind of cool how it worked out.
Yeah. So we, like you said, Darwinson came in 1 2/3. Ottavino came in. He got Haniger. Salamora ended up making his return to the game. He pitched 2/3 of an inning, gave up 2 hits, 2 runs, and he struck out one. Good 8th inning for the Red Sox. They had 5 runs across the plate. Schwarber with the 3-run, I believe it was it a double? I believe it was a
three-run double. Tell when he advanced to third base on an error.
Right, it was a 3-run double, and Verdugo hit a home run. Bogaerts, the 3-run double let off because Bogaerts lead off triple. Devers walked, then Shaw came out for Dahlbeck and walked. Michael Feliz. I don't remember hearing much about this guy.
Nope.
He's actually not done bad from what he's done. He had one bad outing against the Rays, but he's had every other inning, he's been scoreless.
All right, so we all knew that number 35 got he didn't get traded. He got picked up. They picked up his contract or whatever. He was designated for assignment, and then the Mariners picked him up. Andrees made an appearance for the Mariners. Isaac, go ahead and talk about our favorite player.
I was still watching this game, and he actually got really bad luck. You know what? And that's kind of what he was. He'd allow a bloop single, and then once runners got on base, he'd melt down. That was his issue.
So he's like a Richards 2.0?
Yeah, but Richards has way better stuff. I easily take my chances on Richards any injuries, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, but Richards is also one of those fucking dudes who's like, oh, man, he got a hit.
Oh, man, make that play.
Right, like, why are we shifting? Like, I've seen him, like, look back at the dugout, like, why are we shifting?
I don't like that when, you know, a guy doesn't come with the ball. He lets you wear it right on the field. He's like, what the fuck?
You don't like
it's
that?
Like, this guy wears hanging pitches left and right.
Pavetta, your boy Pavetta does the same thing.
Okay. Nick Pavetta. Yeah. The way Nick – listen.
You can say no bad about Nick Pavetta when it comes to Brady.
I love
Pavetta. Not really.
Guess who's going to see Nick Pavetta pitch for the – I think it's the third time in 3 years?
That guy?
Nope, you pointed the wrong way.
Pesky report.
Well, for me, Mr.
There. That's all right. I'm going to see Pavetta pitch on Saturday. I don't have my tickets yet. I was supposed to get tickets from somebody, but we won't go there.
I don't blame me.
I'm not blaming anybody.
There is someone to blame, though. There definitely is.
She's gonna listen to the show, and she's gonna give you so much shit for this.
Listen, that's fine, because the truth is, when I drop the ball, she definitely lets everyone know. But this is not my ball that I dropped. Okay.
No, but she. She pulls.
Oh God, got him in a sack. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, do they sell that too? They sell like a ball holder. Is that?
You know what? They have a little mat. So like when you're shaving your balls,
uh-huh.
We're talking about Manscaped again. Yeah. So like, I don't know. I shave my balls right over a goddamn toilet. So
can we get her name inscribed on it? She's like, you know, here lies, you know, so-and-so's balls, you know, that she owns, she's got them. It's fine. Okay. It's fine.
All right. So, the Red Sox bullpen in the last six games, this was on game two, the Red Sox were four and a third innings, zero earned runs, seven innings pitched, one earned run, three and a third innings, one earned run, two innings pitched, no earned run. I don't know why they did just two. I think it should be 11 and two thirds innings pitched without an earned run. They had a 0.68 ERA, 26 and two thirds of an inning pitched with two earned runs. Fantastic stats.
That's especially after the third game. My bad.
That was after the third game?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. It is what it is.
Bullpen's been doing their job.
So game three, Tanner Houck versus Marco Gonzalez. Here's a question before we actually go into this, to this game. Do we think that Tanner Houck's actually going to get a win this year?
Mm. If he faces the Orioles or Nationals, yes. But they've talked about, with all of our off days, they want to play matchups. And they want Evaldi and Sale to just constantly start every 5 days.
I think that's a bad idea. We'll talk about that after this game.
Okay.
I'll explain why. Actually, fuck it. I'll explain why now. I don't think it's a good idea because of the fact that, like, we're going to need those two to be, like, fresh. Granted, Sale's had, like, a couple days off, but Evaldi he's been the most consistent pitcher this season. You know, he hasn't been injured, you know. And it's like his first healthy season. And I want to see him, you know, succeed when it comes down to the postseason. The only time I got to see him pitch in the postseason was not the only time, but the last time I got to see him pitch in the postseason was when we had that 18-inning World Series game, and unfortunately, he lost.
He was great. Yeah,
he was great, but he lost.
The one thing, though, is
– he still lost.
But looking at the – no, I'm telling you, looking at the schedule, though, I want to make sure that we maximize that series against the Yankees should be beyond huge, right? Like,
Who's our third pitcher going to be? If we're going to go Sale Evaldi, who's our third pitcher?
I got to go Erod.
He's done good against the Yankees this year.
No, Erod's the guy. He's got to be the guy. Yep.
Definitely him.
That checks out. Mm-hmm.
I think when the Cora mentioned, like, they want to play that, like the matchups. I think it was mainly towards the Yankee series. Like they want to make sure Sale and Eovaldi and Erod all start. The Yankees, they're going to start Cole against us. Maybe yeah. I don't know who else, but they're definitely going to give us Cole. They have to.
The only thing I'll say, if they wanted to go Pivetta to have a righty or Hauk, because Hauk has also pitched well against the Yankees and not want to have the lefty going against all those righty Yankee bats, I would understand. But to me, I'd rather give Erod the ball and have Hauk, if I could, coming out of the bullpen, maybe even. Like, I wouldn't dislike that at all here. If Erod give me five and I get Hauk give me two, let's go.
Yeah, I think they want Hauk in the bullpen down the stretch.
Because that series is huge. That's going to be a huge series.
Right now it's huge, yes. It might not be huge in a week.
Well, let's think. The Yankees are playing garbage teams right now. The Red Sox are about to go on their little garbage spell. And when they both finally meet in a week, they should both play pretty well over the next six, seven, you know, games on schedule. They should. 5-2 for either team. Anything less than that would be a shock for me, for both teams.
Well, they're playing Cleveland, so the Yankees are – Yeah, they can beat them. I mean, I know that the Indians have been no hit three times this year, and I think that's a pretty garbage thing to happen to a team. They have been not shut out. They had been no hit the most times in 1 year. They hold that record now.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. At least it's the last year as the name Indians, so you can go in as the Guardians with a fresh, you know, next year you get four. So Tanner, I don't think he's going to get a win this year. I hope not. I kind of want him to.
Let him get his first win in the postseason. Boom.
That's not a win. Everybody starts at zero.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. Let his first win of the 2021.
How fucking weird would it be if like he goes to the bullpen and say like Erod goes like three and a third, and then he comes out and he goes two thirds of an inning and he gets the win.
Fire.
That's baseball. It could happen.
Yeah, it could happen. All right, let's take it on. This game started off at 4:00. This was an extra innings game. The Red Sox ended up winning 9-4. Tanner Houck is 0-4 before this game. He had a 3.54 ERA. Marco Gonzalez was 8-5 with a 4.03 ERA. Renfro started the game off with his 28th homer. Houck ends up going 1-2-3 in the first inning, throwing 11 pitches, and then he just lost his shit. He just absolutely could not find anything. Bobby Dalbec just missed a homer, but got a ground rule double. That was cool as shit watching that outfield. I don't remember who it was. The outfielder just like ate shit.
Jake Fraley.
Yeah, fuck him. Iglesias got an RBI knock. Renfro with another error. Somehow it was an earned run. Like I said, Houck struggled to find the plate. 4 1/3 innings with 3 runs earned and 7 strikeouts. Did you guys see what Marcus Stroman posted yesterday under the Houck pitching ninja? That was fucking cool. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a Stroman fan.
I love Stroman. I wasn't. Now I am. Like this season has changed me throughout the season. Like
I was a fan of his. I think it was his last season in Toronto, right before he got traded to the Mets. I was a fan of his then. Like he had that kind of like dickhead attitude, but I still like it wasn't. Wasn't like I'm better than you. He was like that short mentality, you know, like the Napoleon complex, mm-hmm. you know. But when he got traded to the Mets, and like I followed him a little bit, and he seemed like he was pissed off. I believe he grew up a Yankees fan, and he wanted to go to the New York team that had the chance to make it to the postseason, and the Yankees didn't trade for him. And he was like, whatever, you know. And then he took what he did with the Mets, and I think he actually hates the Yankees now.
Oh, that's cool. That makes me like him even more. I was just tired of seeing him shoved out the Red Sox ass repeatedly. So like,
he was a good pitcher. You just didn't like him because he was fucking us up all the time.
Yeah, I would love him on the Red Sox, but I was tired of seeing him shut down the Sox.
Marco Gonzalez
has a number. That's it.
Yeah. Marco Gonzalez ends up having a quality start. Iglesias had a hell of a game with his return to the Red Sox. This was probably his best game. Taylor looked good.
Richards had two scoreless innings. I always love these little notes. This umpire is ass.
I'm sorry. That's me. His scorecard was terrible.
We'll have to start getting the scorecards before we do the show, if we can. Austin Davis ended up doing his job. The Red Sox made it into the 10th. It seems like the offense just didn't show up because in the ninth it was 3-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Perez came out, and when Perez came out, I was just like, oh, shit, we're going to lose this game because it's Perez, and you can have like 20 runs and he's going to be worse than Phillips Valdez. Perez ended up shutting the door. The Red Sox get a 9-4 win, 3-3 road trip. Bullpen went 5 2/3 innings, 0 runs. Ottavino, I don't know if you guys saw this or heard about this. Adam Ottavino heard what the Mariners announcer said about their bullpen being better, and he took it personal. I love this Michael Jordan, like, quote, I took it personal. You know, like, it's great. You know, Verdugo did it earlier in the year when he got ice in his ass. And then Ottavino this year, or not this year, this game, says he took it personal. So now we got 14 games left this weekend. We got Baltimore for 3. We got a 7 o'clock game on Friday. We got a 1 p.m. game Saturday and Sunday. Then we go against the Mets Tuesday, Wednesday. Actually, let me start that over. We got 3 games against the Orioles Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We have Monday off. Then we have 2 games against the Mets Tuesday, Wednesday. Then we have a day off on Thursday. Then we meet the Yankees. That's at Fenway, right?
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep, that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then we have 3 against Baltimore and 3 against Washington, and that concludes the season. There's no reason for us not to finish this season off on a good note and playing in the wild card game.
Yep.
Agreed.
Now, question for you guys. If we make it to the wild card game, hypothetically, we make it to the wild card game and we lose, how do you feel about the season? Isaac.
If it's the Yankees, I'll be fucking pissed. If it's the Blue Jays, I won't be so pissed. But looking at a general perspective, if we make the wild card, that's a successful season just because of what our expectations were heading into 2021. So we could be either team, but I think the Blue Jays are much better than the Yankees, and I would rather play the Yankees.
Right. And the run differentials between the Blue Jays and every team is just astronomical. Brady, what are your thoughts on if we make the wild card and we end up getting knocked out?
Yeah, I agree with Isaac. You know, I was actually thinking about this today. They came in with no expectations at all this season. It sucks because you have a tale of two seasons. You know, first half was great. Second half is, you know, had a lot of injuries, a lot of players kind of falling behind. But if they make the postseason, that's a huge step in the right direction. They played almost the whole season without Chris Sale, for real. I mean, they get him back, then he goes to COVID. You play almost your whole season without your ace. That's a heck of a job. And really, you know, they haven't had much of a closer for the second half of the season. You know, I mean, they've done a lot of good things. Maybe they found something in Renfro. Like, it looks like they really found, like, a ball player there to keep.
Yeah, hold on. Before you go any further on that, there was something I wanted to talk about with Renfro.
His up and down?
Can we stop fucking chucking it to third base? Like, every time. Like, can we just throw it to second once?
Yes.
Like, seriously. I love Renfro. Renfro is fucking awesome. But holy shit, dude. When you air it to third base, and granted, I wouldn't give that error to Renfro, but still, you should have thrown it to second. If you throw it to second, the guy, you know, who hit the ball isn't going to be running to second. If you throw it to third and you airmail it, that guy's already running to second. So, like, can we seriously just fucking quit the shit? All right, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Actually, yes, yeah. I did, but I'm fucking sick of it. It's like, I know the guy's got a cannon. I know he wants to throw people out all the time, but sometimes it's fundamentals. You just throw it to second. Cutoff man, that's it. Sometimes good. Throwing it to the cutoff man is better than throwing somebody out.
Good point.
Continue.
So making the playoffs, it would definitely suck, but no one really thought realistically if we're here, that's a good successful season. And yes, I'd rather lose to the Blue Jays than to the Yankees. But if the Yankees get knocked out in the next round, that's kind of fun too. But I really don't want the Yankee fans to chirp, so fuck them.
So here's my thought process on this. Fuck the Yankees. But
great.
If we make the wild card game, it really depends for me. Are we the second wild card? Are we the first wild card? If we're the first wild card, I think we have the bigger advantage. You know damn well that that's going to end up being a Cole versus Eovaldi match if it's the Yankees. If it's going to be the Toronto Blue Jays, it's probably going to – who's their better pitcher?
Ryu or
is it Robbie Ray?
Oh, yeah, easily.
All right, so – well, with the way he's been pitching lately, yeah. But so it'll probably be one of the two, Robbie Ray or Ryu, most likely Ray, versus Eovaldi. I think we have the better match there too. It just depends on where we're playing. Would I be upset with the fact that we lost? If we lost to the Yankees, I'd be pissed off because you'd hear about it. You would hear about it from the Yankee fans. You'd chirp, whatever. I don't think that the Yankees are anything special. I mean, we're getting most of our players back are going to be refreshed. I mean, we're getting Barnes back. He's going to be fresh. Darwinson just came back. He's fresh. Taylor came back. He's fresh. Pivetta came back. He's fresh. You know, like all these players, like we got all these players that ended up going on COVID. They had about a 10-day wait. We're going to have Arroyo coming back soon. Hopefully he's doing all right. Hopefully, you know, he's doing a rehab soon. So I think that we have a chance to actually beat the Yankees and the Blue Jays. It just depends on where we're playing them. Like if we play the Blue Jays, I wouldn't be upset playing them at home. I don't want to play them in Toronto.
Yes.
So if they lose, are you disappointed in the season?
No, absolutely not. Even in all honesty, I'll say it like this. If we don't make the wild card, I still won't be disappointed in the season. Like I'll express the fact that I'm pissed off, but in all actuality, this has been a great season so far for the Red Sox.
It has.
Fans, like Isaac made a voice memo earlier in the season that we used as one of our intros. And he was totally against like the fact that like, oh, we should be in the, you know, like, oh, you know, it's okay. The Red Sox, blah, 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 this, they did good and blah, blah, blah. And they should definitely be in the postseason. I would love them to be in the postseason. But the fact that they did what they did before the All-Star break, fantastic. Before the trade deadline, they were, you know, like they started dwindling down. And that's usually what happens. Like Red Sox fans need to realize, like I've seen it for years. The first part of the season starts off great. After the All-Star break, it usually starts going down. They had a lot of shit happen to them. You know,
yeah.
You got a lot of these guys, you know, like you said, Brady, Sale wasn't on the team for 85% of the season. Okay. He wasn't a part of the team for 85% of the season. It already started off with Erod on the IL. COVID completely destroyed this team so far in the past like month. Everything that's been going on since then has just been extra great. You know, like it's been fantastic. Like when they win, they win. You know, they took 2 of 3 against Cleveland. That's when things started going downhill for them. You know. So I don't think this, even if the season was to end right now, like I don't think this season was a loss. I think that this was a fantastic season with the expectations of us being like a 70-win team, maybe even less. People thought that we were going to be in the cellar with, say, the Baltimore Orioles. You know, we have 3 chances this weekend to give them their 100th loss.
Yeah. You know, you're right about that. The one thing that stands out to me, though, is what do you think is what's more surprising to you? Is it that the Red Sox will probably win, you know, 90 plus games, or the fact that the Rays may win over 100?
The Rays winning over 100, that doesn't actually surprise me. That doesn't surprise me.
They have no Tyler Glass now for
Morgan Snell.
Right, and Glasnow has been pitched since the end of May.
It still doesn't surprise me.
No one expected Mike Zunino to have almost 35, 40 home runs.
No, I get that, but it shouldn't shock people with the way that the Tampa Bay Rays organization is.
That's a good point.
But the mentality, you're just like, the Rays are going to be good no matter what.
Right. I literally came into the season thinking, like, the Rays are going to fucking kill us. You know, like, we started shitting on the Rays at the beginning of the season. But at some point, they are going to get hot. And I was – that's my mentality. That was my thought process. It's like, there's no way that the Rays aren't in the top, like, top two spots for the division. And here they are. I don't know how many games they're ahead. What are they, 9, 10 games ahead in the division?
Eight.
Whatever.
And they're probably going to break 100 wins. I'm just saying, for me, I went into the season thinking Sox would be better than people thought. I thought, you know, 85, 87. I thought it would be about that. Mm-hmm. I thought there'd be more Chris Sale. You know, who could have predicted COVID, whatever. But, man, I'll tell you what, Toronto took a long time to get here, but now they're here. The Yankees are actually probably about where I thought they would be, to tell you the truth. But I did not have Tampa Bay this fucking good. Nope, I was
winning,
wrong.
Winning the division?
No, like, they're not. They're really fucking good baseball team.
Well, yeah, like I said, dude, they're
the. But I really didn't think they would. I thought losing Blake Snell and Morton, and then if you told me,
I thought that was going to have more of an impact on them than it did. I still thought they were going to be like one of the better teams.
Right, but if I said they're going to lose Morton, Snell, and Glasnow after like just a third of the season, it's unbelievable. It really is. That their fucking organization, like, wow.
Hey, maybe they had to have thought something with Snell, because Snell's on the IL with the Padres right now.
They don't make mistakes.
They got a big return, but Patino's a stud.
Yeah, they're going. They're an organization that just does their thing, and people just like, ha! And then they come back and they're like, whoa, wait, what? And the saying is, if the Tampa Bay Rays ask you for a pitcher, you tell them no.
Yeah. Imagine if they had fans.
They lost that Adames trade, though, to be honest. Rasmussen's a stud, though.
They might lose a trade here or there, but out of like 10 trades, how many do you think they've lost?
Two, the Cronenworth.
Yeah. Who else? Adames?
Adames, Cronenworth.
Did they really lose it? Did they get something out of it?
Rasmussen's good.
So, I mean, like, they broke even, basically, you would say.
And they made a spot for Wander Franco, which is really what they wanted to do. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. They shred a little money, which is for them.
Out for both teams.
Yeah. Exactly. So they don't lose. When you think they lose, they don't lose. They're just like, they make you think they lost. They didn't. Yeah. And that's what Bloom is going to be bringing to this organization.
Hell, they traded their closer. Freaking, you know, like during a pennant race, and they're like, no problem.
All right, Castillo.
Yeah, no problem. We're having a great season. We're just gonna trade our closer away. And
they had a lot of their bullpen on the IL, like,
yeah,
Mike Anderson, Oliver Drake, Chaz Rowe, Fairbanks. They're like, all right, we'll find this reliever and we'll fix him.
All right, guys, let's take a look ahead for this weekend's game. Let's actually take a look ahead for the next 7 games. All right. So we got Baltimore for 3. We've got the Mets for 2. And then we're going to talk about 2 of the Yankees series. We'll talk 2 games from the Yankee series. So right now it's looking like it's Sale, Pivetta, Eovaldi, Rodriguez, Houck, Sale, Pivetta. So it's probably going to be Sale, Pivetta, and Eovaldi for the Yankee series.
They're definitely gonna somehow manage to get Eovaldi against the Yankees. There's no way that they don't.
Well, yeah, absolutely. He's been pitching pretty good against them.
And at Fenway, he's better.
So this weekend is Baltimore, 3 games, 17th, 18th, and 19th. Chris Sale has got game 1. Has it actually been announced yet?
Cora said they want Sale Friday, Pivetta Saturday and Eovaldi Sunday.
Let's see. Yeah, it still hasn't been announced as of yet. That he still has to go through the whole COVID situation and make sure that it, but it's probably going to be Sale. Yeah. So Fangraphs has the projected starters being Chris Sale versus Keegan Aiken. Aiken has a 2-9 record with a 6.83 ERA with 76 strikeouts.
The other two are worse.
The other two are worse, huh? At least not facing Means.
Yeah.
We got Nick Pivetta versus Zach Lothier. Quick.
Their starters' names are fucking garbage.
Well, this guy. Hold on. So, without looking it up, what do you think Zach Lothier looks like, or Lothier looks like?
I know how he looks like.
I think he looks like you.
He does.
He does.
Exactly
does.
Oh shit! That was just a guess. All right,
he actually does. So you're calling him fat. He has an 0-2. He has a 0-2 record with a 9.92 ERA with 17 strikeouts. I think he's going to be an opener. There's no way he's a starter. He seems like he's an opener. Let's take a. Yeah. Fuck off.
He looks like you in high school.
Dude, I didn't have facial hair in high school. Oh my God. And then they got Andrew Wells. This guy's fucking fantastic too. He's got a 1-3 record with a 7.76 ERA. What are they doing? They taking their fucking rookies and like bring them up?
They're like, here, just take the piss.
And then he has 20 strikeouts. Holy shit. I gotta look at this.
You know they're not spider tag merchants. At they're least all you know lefties.
So all three of them are lefties.
If you bet, go Renfro and Dahlbeck heavy if you just bet on DraftKings or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, basically.
If you're totally a sports bettor, just take your gut and go with Renfro and Bobby Dahlbeck all weekend. They will mash probably.
Hey, you know what's cool?
This guy has started 5 games. He's pitched in 8 games. He's started 5 of them. He's pitched 26 2/3. He's given up 39 hits. 39 hits, 23 runs. All 23 are earned runs. Good. He's given up 7 home runs. He's hit 2 batters. He's walked 12. He's struck out 20. The batting average is about .331.
Austin Wells or who?
That's Alexander Wells. Wells.
The third.
We're gonna call him the third. hold on. Let me pull up these other guys because this has got to be fun too.
Hey, Brad.
Keegan Aikens. This season, he has a 2-9 record, 6.83. He's played in 22 games, started 15 of them. He's pitched a total of 85 2/3 innings. He's given up 99 hits. He's given up 65 runs. All of them earned. He's given up 16 home runs. He's hit 2 batters. How many walks do you think he's given up?
How many innings?
85 2/3.
37.
Go ahead, Brady.
I'm giving 100.
Well, you're way over. Isaac was super close. Was really close. He's got 36 walks, 76 strikeouts, 289 average.
He was taking a no hitter against the Blue Jays, and then they took him deep in the last inning of the doubleheader.
Of course they did. Why wouldn't they?
All so right. If any pitcher does somewhat good against us, it's probably going to be him. But we should still mash him.
All right, hold on. Let's look up Zach Lothier or Brad Jr.
We faced him one game in Baltimore. We crushed.
I remember that he was an opener. All right.
Can you please call him Brad Lothar though, please?
We're gonna call him Brad Jr. He has played 7 games. He started 3 games. He's pitched 16 1/3 innings. He's given up 20 hits. Out of the 20 hits, how many runs do you think he's given up?
9.
19.
Isaac, close again, 18. All of them earned. How many home runs do you think he's given?
Four.
Yeah.
Very close, five. He's hit four batters, though.
He's like, fuck you. Keep hitting he's my like, shit.
Bad for Orioles fans.
He's walked nine batters. He's only struck out 17 with a batting average of 294. He's got a whip of 1.78.
Jesus.
Actually, hold on. Let's see Keegan's whip. I forgot to. Keegan's whip is 1.58. And Alexander is 1.91.
We should easily sweep. We shouldn't even be trailing.
Impressive. You're getting the best Baltimore has to offer.
Unless Cedric Mullins hits a leadoff home run. That's the only excuse.
I feel so fucking bad for him.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad for him and Mancini.
And Davis. Or Hayes, sorry.
Hayes and Mountcastle.
I don't feel bad for Mountcastle.
He's just starting. He's just starting.
He's not. Put him out in left field.
Okay. Yeah. Bottom of the ninth, Orioles, come on.
Do you see, Brad? It's cool. The Baltimore has a reason to lose. They have a one-game lead over the Diamondbacks for the worst record in baseball.
First overall pick. And
yep.
The first overall pick next year is like – I forgot who he is, but he's like insane.
Right. So, like, they want to – you got six games down the stretch against the Orioles. They clearly should – they got to have a reason to want to lose. They're good at losing. Like, that's what they do, right? And now they have a motivational factor to lose. Thank you.
Let's hope they don't lose tonight. It looks
they're
like
the
they're
bottom
going
of the
to
2-1.
No, it'd be great if they won tonight. Get the great win out of them and then be exhausted, like party all fucking night long, and then they'll be fired.
Can I just say the fact that the Yankees are playing one-run games with the Orioles is like pathetic.
It's fucking clownish.
Like they should get a loss for that. If you play if you win by one run against the Orioles, that's not a good game. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% correct. I agree with you. I agree 100%. And gentlemen, do we have anything else that we want to add on to the show before we call it a night? Go ahead, Brady.
Yeah. Isaac, I asked a question before you knew the answer. Early in the season, you asked me about, Brad, about what I think about the extra inning rule. I told you I love it. Well, the fact that the Red Sox are 8-1 in extra inning games, I'm standing firm on my – I love it. If you want to get rid of the 7-inning doubleheader, okay. But you got to keep this rule because it's hard to argue. It's
one of the most well. Likely not.
Well, he's an asshole, and we've all
– We all know that. Yep. We all know that Manfred's a fucking moron.
Right, he just keeps it going. He just keeps pressing the screw the Red Sox button over and over and over.
I don't think it's screw the Red Sox. It's just screw baseball.
No, when they have a COVID outbreak, like, you know, the Yankees, they're canceling games. Red Sox getting there like, fuck you, play.
Clay Holmes going for the second inning save. Okay.
All right.
We all set tonight, guys? Yep. Got anything else you want to add?
Hopefully the Orioles just win in like the next 5 minutes, and that's all I want to say.
Well, if you hear Isaac say fuck by at the end of the outro, you understand why. All right, everybody, take it easy.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Pesky Report. Make sure to follow us on social media at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Pesky Report. No matter what platform you're listening to us on, please make sure to leave us a review and a comment and let us know how we're doing. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.